Welcome to the Small Biz Survival Podcast. We're back today for a special interview with Christopher Penn, an expert on financial aid and paying for college. Chris is coming to us from Boston with some special advice that takes into consideration the special things that apply to small business owners and people in small towns. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Chris, the first question is, what special considerations do people in small towns have when considering financial aid and paying for college?
You know, one of the most important things when it comes to people coming from small towns or smaller towns when it comes to financial aid is that there are, or there could be, a lot of small local scholarships that don't even necessarily make it into the, you know, the big corporate search engines for scholarships, but may still be there. You know, Rotary clubs, Kiwanis clubs, any of the sort of civic organizations that are still prevalent in small towns are great sources to investigate for scholarships. It is a good idea to check in to see if there's anything else that's local, unusual, or unique about the town you're coming from that may offer financial aid, considerations of some kind. When it comes to where students come from for admissions and things, it's not necessarily all that much special emphasis given on where you come from. It is vitally important, whether you come from a small town or a big town or wherever, to fill out your FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. And you can do that at FAFSAonline.com or at FAFSA.ed.gov. The FAFSA is and always will be free, so if you ever find yourself coming across a website which asks you to pay for it, run away quickly. But I would say in terms of small towns, it really is all about, you know, seeing what's local, what resources are local. Ask around. You know, you may even be able to, depending on how tight the community is in that town, to be able to raise some money just independently, not necessarily apply for a scholarship, but, you know, hit up the corner store or whatever and see if they can help with your education financing quest.
Chris, what is different in financial aid this year? What's going to surprise parents and students?
Oh, a couple of things going on right now. The biggest thing, the one's been in the newspapers and on TV and radio, is a reduced amount of availability of some types of student loans. On the federal student loan front, some smaller colleges, like two-year community colleges and things, are having to scramble to find new lenders because the major banks have decided that those schools don't necessarily provide the most profitable students, which is unfortunate. You know, it's very, very unfortunate, but it's unfortunately a reality of their particular business models. On the non-federal student loan side, or what are called private or alternative student loans, the credit restrictions, the credit criteria for qualifying for one of those loans have gone up considerably since last year. Last year, you could, with a credit score of, you know, the 620s or 630s, get yourself a private student loan to fill in the gap for education financial aid. But this year, it's in the 700s and stuff, so a good probably 20% of the people who could have qualified for a loan last year cannot get one this year. Now, when it comes to using federal financial aid or all financial aid, there's a definite order you want to do things in. You want to apply for scholarships and grants first, because that's free money, money you don't have to repay. Federal student loans, like the Stafford Loan at staffordloan.com, the Parent Plus Loan at parentplusloan.com, these are loans that are subsidized by the government sometimes and typically have low fixed interest rates. Stafford loans are fixed at 6.0% for the subsidized, 6.8% for the unsubsidized, and PLUS loans are 8.5% fixed rate loans. So these are relatively good deals for families and stuff. And then finally, whatever is not covered by scholarships and federal financial aid, you should use private student loans like those at alternativestudentloan.com to fill in. But private student loans should not be your first choice because they typically have higher interest rates, they're typically variable rates, and there are typically fewer benefits to them than there are with the federal student loans.
Tell us about the special exemption for owners of small businesses.
On the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, there is an exemption that essentially says any of the assets and things of a small business that, and this, the FAFSA defines a small business as 100 or fewer full-time equivalent employees. It used to be that would count against you. If you were a small business owner, those would be counted as resources that you could use for your child's education, which in most cases is actually patently not the case. Originally, it started just as a farming exemption, so that farmers, their equipment and their land would be exempt from being considered resources to pay for college, and that was extended a couple of years ago to include any kind of small business with fewer than 100 employees. So make sure when you're filling out your FAFSA that you you note those things. You note that the stuff that is legally qualified as a small business when you do your taxes is also taken into account when you fill out the FAFSA. That way you can save a tremendous amount of money that you might have otherwise not been able to have saved in previous years on the cost of college. Really, really important to do your homework on that. Take a look at, again, at our site, FAFSAonline.com, for some tutorials and tips about how to fill out the FAFSA. Another great tip, especially if you've got a community college or any kind of college nearby, despite some advertisements out there, the college financial aid officers really are some of the nicest and most helpful folks, particularly if you can catch them in the off season when they're not processing, you know, thousands and thousands of applications. To ask for advice, you can probably, you know, go to your local community college and ask the director of financial aid for, you know, some suggestions. Say, hey, you know, is there somebody in your office I could swing by and ask some FAFSA questions about? Ask, you know, am I filling out this form right or wrong and stuff? And chances are they'll be able to help you and offer really good advice. And it'll be someone local. So if you have another question, you know, later on down the road, you may be able to call upon them and ask them again. So it's a good idea to get in touch with your local college resources as well. You know, never discount them just simply because they, you know, they're not coming from a name brand Ivy League school. In many cases, they are as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, about the intricacies and unusual aspects of financial aid than maybe someone from the brand name schools who doesn't have to deal with as many diverse situations. So hopefully that is some good advice there for your audience. You can check out my stuff at financialaidpodcast.com. And if you have any comments or questions about financial aid, feel free to get in touch with me, financialaidpodcast@gmail.com or 206-350-1208. One last thing I want to plug, if I can, is I wrote an ebook, a 35-page ebook on how to use Google to find scholarships and other stuff, among other things, that is free to everyone, but if you are listening to this episode here on Small Business Survival, you definitely want to download it and check it out. Go to scholarshipsearchsecrets.com and grab your copy today so that you can get started early on finding scholarships. There literally is no age, maybe like newborn to three, but beyond that, there's no age when it's too early to start searching for scholarships. There are a lot of them for young kids, which are savings bonds, essentially, that you know, 10-year savings bonds you can stick away. It's never too early to start saving for college and making sure that you're putting aside the appropriate resources to do that. So all very, very important stuff, and hopefully the ebook will be helpful to you when it comes to doing that. So thanks a lot, Becky, for having me on the show, and I'll talk to you all soon. Take care, and I appreciate you tuning in to the Financial Aid Podcast.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great week.